The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good morning again. So, 2 days ago, I was playing ping pong with my 14-year-old son. And so we have a ping pong table at home, and so we play periodically. And last year we played a lot. Periodically we play a lot. And I think it was a year and a half ago, he was really intensely competitive. And so he was really working hard to beat me. And eventually, about a year ago, he got pretty good. He could beat me pretty regularly. But then we didn't play for almost a year. And but now in the last couple of weeks, we started to play again. But he's right for the time being, he's not as good as me again. So mostly I've been beating him. So Monday night we were playing, and I won the first two games. And he was trying his best, you know, working really hard. And he used to be able to have this really good return that it was almost defenseless for me. But he doesn't quite have that technique again. So, but he was trying these various things. And then so we played two games and he lost. And then he wanted to play one more game. And he said, for this game, I'm just going to be really relaxed. I'm going to relax. And so in fact, he stayed really relaxed. And he just was, all he tried to do was relax when he get the ball back. That's all he tried to do. And he beat me. So I thought that was a great lesson for him, and it probably applies to many areas in life. And in fact, the reason I kind of thought of it as a kind of represents kind of a nice lesson for many areas in life was I didn't think about much of it at the time. But then I came to IMC to teach Monday, you know, just half an hour later. And someone came up to me and described how he had been involved in three very intense conversations that didn't go well for him. And he realized that he was too attached to wanting things to be a certain way and self-righteous, and it just turned people off from him and they didn't want to listen to him. So I told him that story. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're relaxed in what you want, and that people will listen to you more carefully or participate much more carefully and you know, maybe more likely maybe to get what you need or what you want if you are not so intense about it. And so I think it's the same thing true with Buddhist practice, is that it really helps to be relaxed about it, relaxed about yourself, relaxed about the practice, what you're doing, but not so relaxed that you're not diligent. So the balance of being diligent, of making good effort, continuous effort, doing your best in a way, but being relaxed. That's why I like the idea that, you know, that it's when you do Buddhist practice, sometimes you don't want to give it all the effort that you possibly can. Because if you give all the effort you possibly can, probably you just mess it up. And so some people feel like they just have to try a lot and, you know, be a good practitioner. I think that if you try to be too good of a practitioner, you're in trouble. You have to be, probably what works best for your unfolding of practice is your practice is good enough. And if you try to do anything more than good enough, you might easily get in trouble. People strive, they push, they have expectations, they're measuring themselves, and you'll end up be like my son, who lost his first two games. And the game he won, he didn't look like a hot player. You know, he just kind of gently tapped it back. You know, the returns were not that dramatic. And what happened was that I wasn't able to make the correction fast enough. I wasn't able to get relaxed fast enough to match his relax. So I was still trying to do a little bit too much. So maybe next time I'll try to do the relaxed thing. the ping pong. So, and one of the reasons why this works in terms of Buddhist practice is that the heart of what Buddhist practice is trying to do for us is to help us to let go of how we're tight or how we're clinging, how we're attached, to free the heart from being contracted. And so relaxation is kind of almost the same. It's just closely connected. Being relaxed is kind of like the doorway through which it makes it easier to let go of what you're clinging to and holding on to. And for some people, it's counterintuitive to relax, because it's so important to do. It's important to accomplish. And it's so important to be the one who can do it and pushing. And it makes some sense, because many people, when they come to Buddhist practice or to any kind of spiritual practice, it's not unusual for them to come because there's a huge need for that kind of support, for that kind of guidance and help that a spiritual practice can provide. It's not unusual for people to come with great personal needs and great crisis and challenges of all kinds of different types. And so when there's all kinds of crisis and difficulties that people come with, sometimes the need is so great to get help that the idea that you're supposed to relax is just counterintuitive. You know, finally, I've gotten what's supposed to be helpful, and that people grab on and hold on and huff and puff and try really hard. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, and this pendulum can swing, that sometimes when practice is working for people, whatever that means, that meditation, for example, is comfortable, you're settled down, you've learned not to strive and push, and then the danger is complacency, and the people are too relaxed. And then it's easy to spend time, a lot of time in meditation, years sometimes for some people, falling asleep or just kind of dozing or kind of, you know, everything's cool, everything's fine, you know, and kind of being lulled by it. So how to manage that balance between being relaxed and diligent is a very important aspect of practice. And in that regard, I think for some people there's a tendency to think things have to be one way. Maybe we tend not to be so, you know, they have to be one way. And I think in terms of meditation practice, maybe it has to be at least two ways at the same time. So, for example, maybe it has to be both. It has to be both effort and being relaxed. So not just about making effort, not just about being relaxed. It's about doing both simultaneously. So how do you balance that? How do you find a balance where both are going on? So it's not just one way, but two ways. How to practice? So another way of two ways, and how can be, a lot of people emphasize in America the importance or the value of practicing a lot of acceptance when people do mindfulness practice. Be very accepting of your situation. But accepting, if that's all you do, then I think that it's too easy to become complacent, to be condoning of things which shouldn't be, to be strengthening qualities of mind that maybe shouldn't be strengthened, attitudes, understandings. So maybe acceptance has to be paired up with real discernment, real recognition, and kind of evaluation of what is helpful and what's not helpful, what is useful. And to really see that, yes, I can accept everything, meaning I'm not going to cling and tight and could resist anything, but I'm also going to look at things and decide, this is useful and this is not useful. And, you know, this is not useful, what I'm doing now. I can accept it in a certain kind of way. I'm not going to resist it or cling to it best I can. But it doesn't mean I just have to let it continue merrily along its way. I've known people who lean too much in the acceptance side of Buddha's practice. And they end up in some way just accepting a wandering mind. They say, oh, it's just a wandering mind. I'm supposed to accept it. This is what my mind does. And I just let it be. And, you know, I'm learning a little bit about what my wandering mind is about, but, you know, it's not really so, it doesn't serve them so well. If anything, maybe it reinforces a certain kind of addiction to thinking. So, next time you play ping pong, try it. Try it. So that's what I have to say today.